Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to another episode of TMS Hot Takes.
Hot Takes.
Where things get hot.
Keeping it hot.
And even hotter. The hottest.
Why are you whispering?
ASMR.
Why are you whispering?
ASMR.
Why are you whispering? They must be thinking that we're going through something or that the audio is disconnected on your side.
I'm just being silly. How are you guys doing? I hope that you're actually all doing well.
Midweek check-in.
Midweek check-in. How are you, Renee?
Hump days.
I'm well.
By God's grace. You know when aunties used to ask, how are you doing,
by
my sister?
God's grace. Everyone in my family says that.
By God's grace.
By God's grace.
Love it, man.
But I think it's a very Ghanaian thing, though, because we have a phrase in Sri that you would usually just say as an automatic response. Yeah. That like, no, it literally translates to God's grace. Yeah.
Wow. Leaning on the grace.
Leaning on the grace of God.
Leaning. You know what? I'm doing very well.
Yeah.
It feels like life is going.
That's actually a very good summary of it.
100 miles per hour.
Yeah.
But aside from that, I'm doing okay. Yeah. Bob's your uncle, just like leaning in. Guys, this is well in advance, so I'll be speaking about things that are occurring 3 weeks before. But day before my birthday.
Day before your birthday.
So very excited about that. Yeah. Just, I feel like February's been a good month so far. It's been 2 days in. And
that's very good.
I can't complain.
That's really good. I love that.
That's been
you.
Great. How
love
about you?
For you? I'm good. Sorry, I'm currently pulling up my episode notes. I'm good.
You that was teasing me. What was it?
It's not that. It's for the dilemma.
Oh,
I know what I've come to talk about.
Okay. Well, okay. I was trying to have my moment or whatever, but you know.
I'm doing okay. I have been quite tired. Currently going through a lot kind of health wise, I'm all right. Work is just plodding along
as it does.
Overwhelmed with work at the moment, trying to like wrap up freelancing for a little while, so that I can just lean more into like TMS, the business side of things. But then there's also the production side of things, which is quite demanding, but I've enjoyed it. Like, I've really enjoyed listening to the episodes, doing the edits, and just like, it's been really nice. But boy, Courtney has reached capacity. So
error,
yeah, it's
error
just
message.
Literally,
error
like,
message.
I was talking to my friend Jen, our friend Jen, and I was just like, "Oh," she was just like, "Make sure that you know rest before your body makes you." And my body has a habit of doing that, and I think their anxiety currently is around, we have South Africa in 3 days, and my energy levels are at 3
in the pits.
Yeah, out of 100. So I'm just like, you know, I need to get myself back up. I need to take care of myself whilst also juggling this hectic schedule. But, you know, maybe this is the year that God wants us to expand. Me to expand in particular as well, like with team help, contractors.
Yeah.
Stepping into, like you're saying, executive presence. But then at the same time, it feels like you're in that transition period where you're holding on to the old way, the old system and the new system as you build it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, we're out here trying to be entrepreneurs.
Trying to be entrepreneurs. Building stuff, as they say.
Yeah.
Making money and all that jazz.
That's a part we don't really talk about too often, I don't think. I think at the beginning of our podcast, we're talking about like business and stuff like that because we were trying to, you know, we were building.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about it as much. We come on here, we just get to be girls.
I'm just a girl.
Should we make that our new theme tune?
I think we should.
I'm just a girl.
They were onto something when they made that.
But I really, we need, oh dear.
Excitement.
Really need to figure out where that is from.
Let's Google it.
Yeah. But what would you say to Google?
Wait,
we don't even have internet.
Oh, guys, as we're recording this, oh, Our building, the Wi-Fi just likes to go, kaput. Sorry. Error. They're like, every time we email, like, guys, there's no
internet. And then we just get it's like that.
The technicians, the engineers. Listen, STEMers, STEM girlies, arise and shine, because what's going on?
And it's like a place where people really are working from home. And we need the internet.
You know when there's no internet, because you go downstairs, there's at least 50 people there
in the lobby
across using their 4G.
Yeah, tough times for us, but I guess it means we're forced to talk to each other
and
do a very old-fashioned thing like play games. I know this is so random, but I wanted us to play a game. So do you know the word game where you both say a word at the same time and then you have to try and get to the same word?
Yeah, kind of. Well, it sounds quite simple, so from how you've described it. So let's hope.
Cool. But it's good because there's no winners or losers. It's a team game.
Okay.
Yeah, we are the team. Oh, don't let me down.
I was about to say, okay. Oh dear.
It's any word that's not specific to a topic. And then the next word you say, is the aim of the game is for us to say the same word.
Match words. Okay.
You ready?
It's the way you're looking at me. You're like, you better say the same word.
Okay, I feel like we'll get there. Cool. 3, 2, 1. Camera. Apple. What did you say?
Apple.
Okay. Apple. Camera. Okay, cool.
Okay. And then the next word has to be related to that.
Yes, because we're both... So this is what's... These words that we've just said are leading our train of thought.
Okay.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah. So now we're both trying to get...
That's the way you're looking at me. Like,
I'm trying to engage in some kind of telepathy.
Yeah.
We now going off those two words you said, we've got to think of the same word. Okay. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Watch. iPhone.
Christ of Nazareth, what has watch got to do with camera?
Apple watch, Apple camera. I was thinking tech.
Okay, so iPhone watch, but we can't say the same words again because then I would have said Apple.
Okay,
wait. Okay.
Technology.
But you've just said that was going to be my word.
There's things
I was going to say technology.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. I think that's good. Know what you're saying.
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
MacBook.
Oh man.
I mean, we're technically it's the same
it's
thing.
It's not. We have to get the same word.
Okay. All right.
Okay, MacBook. Laptop.
Yeah. 3, 2.
Whoa, he said I'm ready.
Okay, she's still thinking. She's still considering.
MacBook, laptop,
technology, setup, that kind of stuff.
Oh, now you're saying more words.
Yeah, no, but
we're not going on the same
you
journey.
Know, in life sometimes.
Okay, cool. 3, 2, 1. Computer.
Microphone.
Christ of Nazareth.
Girl,
where are you going? Where
I'm
are
thinking
you?
Vicinity.
But that's not the topic. You're meant to be going on the words.
Jeez.
On the words.
Clearly we have
it's not I spy.
Because if we go off the train of thought, baby,
that's the problem. That's the problem. I really thought it would only take us like 5 rounds.
Nah, clearly there's a miscommunication.
What did you say? Microphone.
I said microphone.
And I said computer.
Yeah.
Microphone. Computer. Okay.
Wait. Microphone, computer. I'm trying to think. Is there an obvious link between the
there
two?
There really is. There is.
Oh, man. I'm going to embarrass you.
This is what we do for work.
This it. Okay.
Okay, cool. 3, 2, 1. Recording.
Podcast.
Yes, of course.
Okay, guys. So that's the end of the game. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed that. In conclusion.
I feel like we could get it.
What's after that, though?
Okay, what recording. Podcast.
Yeah.
Because it can't be microphone, because I feel like that's where your mind would go.
Yeah, it is.
It can't be microphone. Recording, podcast. It's a format of our podcast, which we record.
Okay.
Renee, the okay and the not is not making me confident. It's not making me confident.
I think we're going to get it.
Amen. 3, 2, 1.
YouTube.
Audio.
Okay, guys, so thank you for listening to our audio and YouTube podcast. That was a great game. I really enjoyed that.
I did not.
I know you didn't.
I did not. Anyways, as you can tell, maybe we're not on the same
page. No, but you know what it is? It's about diversity of thought. Like, it's not, it's giving complimentary like as opposed to...
It's not giving games like this. It's this game is about conformity.
But this is the thing. It's a game. Sometimes in life.
It's a game.
But that's the learning.
You could do that after the game.
But that's the learning. Sometimes that's in why life...
We've just disgraced ourselves on the internet. Anyway,
do you think we could cut out some segments?
Absolutely not.
Well, guys, there you go, the raw and real.
I really thought we would have got it. I thought
we would have as well, but we just have too many.
It literally says MacBook.
But
right
why
there.
Would you say I was thinking hardware, like it's a laptop, because we were saying things. I didn't know
maybe
it goes as specific
maybe I
as
haven't
MacBook.
Explained the game well. It's okay. So. On the technology of
the bullying. if you have also been a victim of any kind of sideways bullying, I would also
how is this bullying,
recommend
Renee?
That you how go is to my sister. No, it's not even that. You see, my brain is even frazzled. It is betterhelp.com/ to my sisters
to get therapy.
To get some
who?
Therapy.
So, talking about YouTube seems the word that's on your mind.
So, there's a format of the podcast. Yeah, YouTube. We're on the same
that
name.
Involves recording and microphone yeah, or YouTube. Whatever.
YouTube.
Audio.
Yeah, but.
Recording.
YouTube also requires
format.
These things.
But YouTube is not a format.
I mean, YouTube video.
But that's not what you said, you said YouTube.
But
YouTube
I was going to platform. Say video.
Video would have been. No, video would have been better.
But it wouldn't have been because it still wouldn't have been the same.
No, but it would have been closer because I said audio, then you said video.
But then if we had continued, maybe we would have coalesced around video. If I had what said video, mean? We wouldn't have been able to get to video. Did you get? I said YouTube, you said audio. So maybe
yeah, but how would we have gotten to video with YouTube audio?
Because YouTube, oh, it's a format. Ah, okay. The one word that wasn't said,
no,
video.
Renee. Anyways, so I saw a TikTok of a person. No, Renee, because that's not right. I saw a video of a person being like, what do you, the face you make when somebody disturbs you during your designated eating and YouTube time. And I think it was the most, and she was so frustrated. And I think it is one of the most accurate things I've ever seen. Do you have like a, once you sit down to eat and watch your thing, if somebody calls you, you're frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definitely me.
I really don't like that.
It's the worst.
In fact, like
ever.
I don't even like meetings during that time. Like the
what
designated,
do you mean?
Like for me, the whole eating and YouTube time is typically in the evenings. Oh, so when fair. People like call me or fair, like, they're fair, like, fair. Oh, can we talk at this time? No.
My thing is just, it's a moment of peace and tranquility for me, and you're disturbing that.
I don't like that.
You're disturbing that, and I find myself literally having a visceral reaction, like, "Ugh, why are you calling
yeah,
me?"
Like,
yeah, I don't even answer. I'll just look at the thing.
No, but even as they've called, looking at
yeah, exactly. Like, and you're and with the Apple ecosystem,
I'm
everything is playing a sound.
All four things,
everything is playing
time.
A sound. This thing is vibrating.
Mm-mm.
My headphones are probably even disconnected.
Yeah.
So now you've really disturbed
me. And then you know
me.
When the call pops up and then
yeah,
everything else minimizes. Oh no.
I don't like
no,
it.
No, no, no.
I don't like
I
it.
I don't like it either.
Yeah. It's a really sacred time, man.
It is,
of peace.
It's necessary as well, especially yeah. if you've designated that time and then all of a sudden, you know. And the Apple ringtone is obnoxious
yeah,
in a way.
And
so.
It's very I don't know. Do you feel like the Apple volume system is weird?
Yeah.
Because suddenly your phone will be much louder than
ringing.
You thought it was.
Ringing.
The same with my laptop. Why is it shouting? Literally projecting
like
noise.
Like, rest, I've seen that there's a
it's port. Okay.
And then I think what's even worse, the Apple Watch now
yeah,
vibrates.
Yeah, it's vibrating. So it's giving you the haptics. And
hello?
It's, hey, someone is calling you.
Hello?
I know. All of my devices are
ringing.
Telling me. And I'm still avoiding them. So stop.
Need to start putting Do Not Disturb from 6 p.m., man, because what are you doing?
But apparently people even have an issue with that.
Do you know what my issue is? Is when you can get past Do Not Disturb by ringing twice.
Yes. But you can turn that off.
I need to turn that
yeah,
off.
Yeah, you can turn it off.
There are certain folks, you know who you are as you're listening, yeah. that will call me twice
yeah.
in the morning.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
I'm awake, but not for
not
you.
Not for you. Not for you. Yeah, you can turn it off. But I kind of get scared at the idea of that, because what if someone really needs to reach you?
Oh,
do you get what I mean? Like
that's
emergencies actually do happen. I think sometimes we forget why technology was
yeah,
made for
that's
actual
true.
Connectedness.
But then surely they would be. Oh, that's true. I was
well, it's like
say
how
they'd
else?
Be a favorite. Because surely those are the emergencies that should be needed.
True. But like, for example, our building loves to harass us with phone calls sometimes.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's like if there was something wrong with our apartment, they just would never get through.
Yeah. But then if there was a fire, surely there's a fire alarm.
But if we weren't home.
Oh, fair.
Yeah, yeah. It's all very interesting things, isn't it?
It's all these small things that you're like.
Yeah, very small things. But anyways, to get into an actual real deep conversation before we get into the dilemma.
Yep.
I saw a TikTok of Charlie Mace.
Yeah,
and he's so funny. He's hilarious. He was talking to some guys, men on a podcast, and they were like, he was saying how it's a fact that black women are doing better than black men in terms of like career progression and income.
Okay.
And it was interesting because the way he was saying it is like, there are so many people who take an issue with that instead of realizing, and this way it went left for me, that it can sometimes be a cry for help. Like that hyper independence, should we as men not be so ashamed at the fact that women have become so hyper independent? And I wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Interesting.
Because I kind of agree with it to an extent. And then the way he presented it was the hyper independence is a trauma response. Which is where it went left for me.
Yeah.
But up until the point where he did say like trauma, I was with him. Because I think you can't be confrontational about the hyper independence or the fact that like women are just doing better educationally, career-wise, professionally as well, within the black communities.
Within the black community.
What are your thoughts as a high-achieving, high-earning black woman?
You know, not me being in the top 10%. No, I'm trolling. That's what everyone says. Oh, yeah, I want to be in the top 10%.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But technically,
I hear what the... I hear the spirit behind what he's trying to say, right? Yeah. There is something about both within society, but also historically about women obtaining hyper-independence as a trauma response. I think there is basis to that.
Yeah.
And I do think that it's a reach to say that women being successful in all of these different areas is solely down to this is a trauma response. They can't depend on nobody. They need to go out and be independent, etc., etc. Yeah. Because I think it's very reductive and it assumes that the only reason through which women should be independent is because they've experienced great trauma.
Yeah.
As opposed to it actually being a function of society and actually quite necessary for women to be independent in some ways, right? It's actually necessary. I do think there is something there about how society has progressed such that, especially for some black women, I won't say all because not all black women have been through trauma.
Yeah.
And they haven't been through traumatic experiences with men where they've had to, all my life, I've had to fight. Right. I think we have that caricature and that stereotype of black women as having to be hyper masculine because men are not stepping up to take care of them and all of that jazz. So I think that there is basis in the spirit behind that. I don't know. I think the whole like masculinity conversation, I think there's institutional factors at play as well, especially for men and their progression rates. I think it's more pronounced. We often think about stats in like the United States as opposed to United Kingdom. But we also still see those disparities. And I think that it's tea for tight because it's not just that men step up, because we do have to recognize there are institutional forces, but then my guy, sometimes it's not about you. Like sometimes women just want to be high earning and they actually do want to make sure that they've got what they need to move forward, you know what I mean? I think it's very chivalrous or kind of chivalrous in the way that, you know, it's, I'm assuming he's trying to indict men.
Oh, yeah, 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 absolutely. Like, no, it was coming from a good place. Exactly. I want
to
say that. It was
trying to get on your Zoom and stuff like that. But I do think that we need to be careful attributing women's progression and women's success to being simply a trauma response. We're more than just our capacity to depend on men. And our successes are not just indicative of the glaring discrepancies that are present within men. Yeah. I think that's where it kind of goes a little bit left for me personally, is the attribution. It's like, oh, you guys are only successful. I'm sure he didn't necessarily mean it this way, but you can probably extrapolate. You guys' success is very telling of the fact that we as men, especially in that the disparities, especially as men, that we're not doing like our bit to make sure that you feel secure.
Yeah.
And I don't know, because, man, that's a whole conversation, man, because we can then talk about like absentee parents. We can then talk about like the big thing that a lot of guys love to use against women are like daddy issues, parental setup. And whilst there are, you know, a lot of links between those kind of issues, I do think that it's a bit more complex than just a trauma response, guys.
Yeah, I do think it's a lot more complex. Like I said, I do think he was coming from a good place in terms of why are we getting onto women and men are sitting on podcasts talking about women are this, women are that, instead of pointing out what they are not. Let's look at ourselves as to what we are not doing. And I do like that level of taking responsibility and trying to find what's the part that you can do. Mm. But I think that's the next step of the conversation. And I haven't watched the full podcast episode, which would be interesting to thinking about, okay, so what is the next step? Because as much as you may say, like, again, I agree with what you're saying, it's not necessarily just linking it to being a trauma response. However, what is the next step then in terms of the conversations men have amongst themselves about masculinity and how it relates to women and their earning potential? But also like just relational issues and how men and women interact with each other in romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. So it would be really good to hear how a conversation like that progresses, especially amongst men. But I do think it is quite interesting to see people's reaction to that trend, mm-hmm. that is women, especially black women, out earning black men. Mm. Because a lot of people do see it as, oh, you see, like, women are this, women are that. It still doesn't mean anything. Did like all this high value man kind of
still going
red pill, cesspit. Mm. But then at the same time, there's also the very clear reality.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Reality that now, like, statistically you are being out earned, but also why is that? And I don't think it's just a women's thing, a men's thing. Men need to do this, women need to do that. I think it's a society thing as well.
And I
kind of want to see more men engage in the high level conversation. Not to say that that isn't out there, but I'd like to find it and for that to be more publicized. But then there was another TikTok from a podcast. This wasn't as negative. Rita Balogun,
okay,
absolutely hilarious woman, mm-hmm. Went on a podcast, I think, and she was telling a story of her grandparents and how they had made a pact with one another that when one of them passes, the other has to go like quite swiftly after.
Screaming. Yeah. I hear it though.
Yeah. And she was telling the story of how after her grandmother died that like week or something, her grandfather, they were like all sitting around and her grandfather just randomly made a beeline to run into the wall. Yeah. And one of her so this was the podcaster's response, right? He just started laughing and she was like, you're laughing a bit too hard. You could tell she also found his laugh funny, but she then went on to stitch her own video, well, the video of her talking about that, and give the full context of the fact that nah, he was just so grieved at that idea. Exactly. So it went from like this is heartbreaking, actually. But like her grandfather could not stand the idea of living without his wife. He's been married to for over 60 years.
Wow.
So he was just going to make like a beeline for it, just end it all.
Wow.
Because, and the whole family didn't know about this pact, right? So when he did it, it was kind of like, where did that come from? And then he explained the pact that they had had and his kind of response to grief. He didn't die that day, but he ended up dying a few years later.
Wow.
And it made me ask the question of like, Do you ever think about like death and I do regularly and if your partner was to die before you,
I have to go first.
Do you think so?
I have to.
Yeah,
I can't
hear it.
Renee at this present stage cannot
live without their partner.
What? No, I have to go first. if he's on the brink, oh wait,
yeah,
hang on.
Yeah,
it's tough, man, especially when you spent the best part of a significant part. This person is your lifeline. Yeah. You have kids with this person. I have to go first. Well, we have to go together.
That's why they made the pact, right? It has to be the end together.
There's no way.
The idea of living without someone you've been with for decades.
Listen, you already know I'm not trying to spend too much time down here. I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to spend too much time down here, but to also get to that age and stage, living a lifetime with somebody and then they're gone.
Yeah. Loneliness is a real thing, man. But then to lose the person you've known most and love most, tough.
They've seen so much. Oh, I have to go. No, I'll pack it in, mate.
Ooh, ciao.
We have to go together. Bow out gracefully. Thank you.
I don't know. I think it'll be so interesting to talk to older couples and talk about how they deal with grief and loss of someone who's played such a significant part in your life. Like, damn, that's the person you know. You've known longest, most likely, like in their case anyway, 60 years of marriage that's and insane. You're only 80. That is your...
When you see her, you see me.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
How about you? Would you?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I get it where it's coming from. Like, I'd want to go first because I can't live without you. But then I'm like, but then you have to live without me. Yeah. That's really sad.
No, we have to go
together.
We have to go.
I feel like the likelihood is by God's grace, me and my partner do not die young.
Amen to that.
I think I will outlive my partner.
You think?
I think I will outlive my partner. I think statistically women outlive men anyway. Mm. But I also think I would rather outlive my partner. I think for me, the idea of them living without me, I'm like, damn, you must be so heartbroken.
Wow.
I don't know.
I'm screaming, you're annoying. You say, it must be hard.
It must be so hard for you. I wouldn't want you to go through that. But then at the same time, me living without you, I don't think that will be for a long time.
I
think if you're married to someone for such a significant amount of time, it will only be a couple of years before you're like,
I gotta go.
Yeah, but then I guess like for anyone who has lost a partner, even in old age, and has lived significantly outlived their partner, I guess there's life after that as well. There's life after that as well.
It's tough, man.
I think you hold on to the fact that we were together and those were fond memories.
That's and
you
crazy, grieve.
It's another stage of life, you know. Because he did live a couple extra years. It's doable.
Wow.
But it's pain. I can imagine it's painful. Yeah. But I wouldn't want my partner to die like before me. Like, oh, you must go before I go. Because I'm trying to hold on to my life. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's sounding mad obnoxious. It's
morbid, yeah.
It's sounding very arrogant to be like, I don't want you to live without me. I genuinely feel like I don't want you to go through that kind of grief. And I feel like I could. I think that's what I'm trying to say. I feel like I could handle the grief.
Do you?
No, I've never been there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I've never been there. I'm not even trying to chart
it. But what's the worst that could happen?
There's nothing that is the worst, but they're having people around me that are currently lonely and going through that. To have lived that life with somebody that you love and now you're at the brink, like you're old.
Mm.
Wrap it up, man.
Fair enough.
Not even that I need to out. Like, maybe... If I knew I was going to go after like maybe 2 weeks after you, then it's not do your thing. It's fine. I'll catch you in heaven.
That's funny.
But if it's like, oh, I'm going to have to live years without you. Take me to the king.
I hear it.
I don't have but my thing is
you have kids.
Yeah, but they're probably going to be self-sufficient by that time.
Yeah, I understand that. But I feel like there are other things to live for.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to be there for that.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Nope.
Fair enough. But yeah, I think if my partner outlived me, I would just be sad for their grief. But if I outlive them, there's other things to live for. If it's not my time, it's not my time.
I hear it, man.
Yeah. There's an appointed time for man to
die. That's true. I just hope that it's within.
We're close to each other, basically. Yeah, I hear that. Because I think so I completely agree. Like living without, would you do that?
Well, skydiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's on my bucket list.
Yeah, I think living without your partner is a different kind of grief.
That's
man.
different man.
Kind of pain.
After all of that,
The life stages with one another, crazy, absolutely crazy,
mate.
Yeah, tough times. Tough times.
They don't last though.
What, tough times?
Yeah. So, well.
That's funny.
There's going to be tough times till you die. And then after that, take me to the king.
Take me to the
take
king.
Take me there.
I hear that. Well, yeah. We have a ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Oh, it's not as heartbreaking as what we just discussed.
Do you remember that question that I asked you and the girls about whether they would be a mortician?
Yeah.
For 400K.
Yeah.
Just giving me those vibes.
Hello, my sisters.
Hi.
Words will not be enough to describe how much listening to the Two My Sisters podcast has enriched my life and the sisters around me I've shared it with.
Amazing.
I'm a 19-year-old girl who has a really close friend that I'd consider a sister who lost her mother. Oh. For context, she celebrated her birthday a day before and her mother passed away the next day.
Wow.
We're in an important transitional period where we're done with high school and looking to go to university.
Mm.
We both have avoidant attachment styles, so I'm not entirely sure how to show up for her, and she's trying to look strong and not cry too much even though she should be.
Mm.
Because I have no reference point for the kind of pain she's in, I'm unsure of how I can show up for her in a way that is impactful.
Mm.
Do you have any advice on how I can show up for my friend, not just while the situation is fresh, but even long term as the year/years progress? Mm. With love, a sister from Zimbabwe.
Oh, sister from Zimbabwe. First of all, super sorry that both of you guys are going through this period, and a special condolences to your friend.
Yeah.
It's not easy losing somebody that close and someone that dear and near. So really praying that God comforts her during this time.
Absolutely.
I think in terms of like approaching support, the first thing is actually just being present.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we can overcomplicate how to show up for people. It's like, oh, am I showing up right? And sometimes the most important thing is just to show up.
Yeah.
Like actually just to be there. And I think with people that have more avoidant attachment styles, I think as somebody that has previously had and kind of leans more towards the avoidant attachment style, I think it is making the progressive but simple efforts to be present and show up and try different things as well. It's almost like you're trying to get a chink in their armor and you keep on, you know, apply pressure to that area, and eventually there will be that, you know, opening up. So I think be present, show up, check in on your friend as well. Mm. Like send messages. It doesn't have to be a how are you doing, how are you coping, because sometimes that can be a very like, it can be a big reminder of what she's going through. So it might just be a hey, good morning, how are you, like just a normal check-in to make sure that she's doing okay. It can be the acts of service as well. You can actually use the love languages as kind of like a reference framework if you like, but it can be acts of service, like checking in on, is she eating, you know, is she doing grocery shopping, is she functioning well, are there things that you can do, like maybe support with like cleaning up the place that she's staying. Especially because it's such a big transitional period for you guys, sometimes it's often showing up with the basics that can be the most impactful. Mm. People deal with grief in different ways, so be very aware and very attuned to the way that she is behaving around you. So be present, show up, make an effort to connect with her on a daily basis if you can manage it. I don't know what you guys' like wider community looks like, if she has like siblings or like folks within the community that can also be a source of comfort during this time.
Mm.
But it may be worth engaging with them too, thinking about ways that you can come together, spend time in each other's presence if that's something that you know that she would be down for.
Mm.
I think sometimes it can be challenging to know when to give her space and time, so yeah. I would actually err on the side of like checking in and then allowing her to basically tell you, okay, I need a little bit more space, as opposed to just kind of completely taking your hand off the gas pedal, because
yeah.
it's often these times that people feel the loneliest and feel the most overwhelmed.
Mm.
And that can be solved by just you being there physically, mm-hmm. or you being there and being around and making sure that you know that she knows that you're around.
Yeah.
But yeah, lean into the simple things. I think also things that you can do for her while she's not around, or don't necessarily have to be like super active and in her presence, is actually praying for her and interceding for her.
Yeah.
I think sometimes that can do a hell of a lot of good. That doesn't require you to actively be there all the time, but
yeah.
it just means that you're constantly thinking about her. You are constantly thinking about things concerning her, and you're also making sure that she's still top of mind. I think when people are going through grief, and especially those with like avoidant attachment styles, it's often because they're not kind of like top of mind, or they don't assume that they're top of mind in other people.
Mm-hmm.
So doing things like prayer or just things outside of her reference point is actually useful in keeping her top of mind, and means that you can tap into and kind of get an indicate in English, get an indication as to how you can continue to support her.
Mm.
Not too sure if you are like, you know, Christian or whatever, but just, yeah, prayers, really, yeah. Having your thoughts oriented around your friend right now is super, super important. And also making sure that you understand that whilst you can be a supportive friend, you can't do everything or be everything. It's very tempting to kind of want to step in and save your friend. But if you're noticing anything that is out of the ordinary, out of the blue, or there's certain kind of stages or manifestations of grief that is alarming to you, it may be worth thinking about sharing some resourcing as well. Mm-hmm. So you getting clued up on grief counseling, grief management, anything that has helped for either yourself in the past or has helped for other people around you, kind of being that guiding knowledge bank for your friend can also be useful as well, but not in a pushy way. It's just kind of a, I know you're going through a tough time, so do feel free to lean into these resources if what you have isn't enough. But I think just emphasis on taking the pressure off, being around, being present, intentionally thinking of your friend, keeping them top of mind, and then making sure that you are supporting them in the simple things, because oftentimes it's not about the big gestures, but it's about the simple things that makes their life easier at this time that can make a heck of a lot of difference. So yeah, that's what I would say.
I agree with that. I think that's really, really good advice. And yeah, I just echo everything. I think she may not be able to ask or even know what to ask for in this time, but show up, you know, just try and do the helpful things, the groceries, the being present, you know, giving her someone to just even coexist in the same space with so she's not alone, but also being respectful of if she does ask for time to be by herself, you know, give it to her, but still check in from time to time. How are you doing? Is there anything I can get you? Anything you want me to do for you? And just letting her know you're available and you're here to help. Praying for her, like you said, if there is anyone else close to her who she could lean on, just like checking in with them as well, like, is she okay? Just want to make sure she's all right. Just being present is really going to be important as well. I think like you said, this is not something you've gone through, it's something you can't relate to, but I think when you see your friend in pain, as you've sent in this dilemma, there's something you desire to do. So if she doesn't make it clear, just show up as best as you can for her. You know, it could be sending her stuff, or like you said, being physically present, but also just letting her know like she's in your prayers, and anything she does make known, just try your best within your capacity to actually show up and do it. So that's what I would say. It's really sad, and really hope that her healing and her grief journey is one that is, that isn't too painful. But I think that's another thing there, like everyone grieves very differently. So I think also give her a space where she can grieve, right? Like it may not, I don't mean give her space as in distance, but like if she wants to talk about her mom, if she doesn't want to talk to her mom, like allow her to go through the grieving process. And I think like you said, if you see that there are some negative manifestations of guilt, then grief, then definitely try to kind of ask these open-ended questions to just be like, you know, how are you doing? Like what's going through your mind? And just try to be present. That's the only thing I would say. Grief is a very, very tough thing. It's a very unique thing, and at a young age a lot of us don't know what to do. So I think that would also be a great way for you to also ask other people who may have been in similar situations, how have they helped, how have they helped people. I guess if her mum is also having a funeral, how can you be supportive in that as well? My sister's best friend, her father died while they were like 15, and it was a really tough time. But I think the way my sister was able to show up was like to help with the mass and the funeral, go on walks with her friend and just give her room to talk about it if she wanted to, but she was never pushy. And she, I think also grief is a long-term journey, so whilst, you know, they are going through this right now, they may still need to talk about it in a year or two, you know? So just being aware that this is now a part of their story and it will unfold in different ways over time. So you yourself just be present and aware and know that your role as a friend, and it's so it's actually so admirable and commendable that you're even thinking about how you can support her, but know that that might be a long-term thing.
So
be ready for that ride, and just let your friend know that you're there to be their friend in any time of need. So thank you for sending that dilemma. We really do hope that the solution was helpful. And let us know how it goes. If you're listening to this and you ever want to send a dilemma, please send it to dilemmas@twomysisters.com. send us an email and we will get around to it. Well, it's a very sad note to leave it on. So quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
I saw a TikTok of a girl who had kept her wig braids in for 6 months.
Okay.
And I wanted to kind of, as somebody who was a hairdresser in a past life, I just thought, it's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
An interesting choice to make with your life.
Stop it and kill me.
I wanted to kind of hear about your wig routine.
I've recently started wearing wigs again. Mm-hmm. I got into the whole braids and twists and stuff like that because I like it, and I actually personally do not like the whole having wig braids in for too long. So in terms of my wig, or rather under wig routine, those braids are staying in for a maximum of 6 weeks. Ideally 4, but 6, I stretch it to 8 if I'm going through something. And I still wash my hair in cornrows and stuff like that. So under the wig, I'll still wash my hair on at least a minimum of every 2 weeks. I do the whole moisturizing my wig braids underneath, spritz, put a little bit of conditioner, put a little bit of oil to seal that in. Bonnet when I sleep, all that jazz.
Yeah.
So that's my under wig maintenance.
Fair enough.
Also, I have a really oily scalp.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because I exercise and stuff like that, I actually have to shampoo. Shampoo is one of my favorite things to do for my hair. So the idea, obviously, I'm not assuming that sis doesn't wash her hair. I don't have any of the context of the TikTok. She might have kept them in and she's doing her whole routine and stuff like that, but even that, I'm just thinking, oh, the matting might be quite a serious
thing. She did have a lot of shedding, but her hair is flourishing. Her hair looks really good.
I
know it works for some people in terms of length retention and just low manipulation, but for me with my dry scalp, it's a once a week. I take out my wig braids every week.
Once
a week. Good times for me, isn't it? Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of scared of washing my hair with braids in. So I'm just let me just take them out and wash it, and then I can redo it. But I think it's because I can do my own braids quite quickly. So it's not an inconvenience too much. But like you said, maximum for me is 2 weeks.
Wow.
Max.
Wow.
Yeah. 2 weeks and it's I gotta get my braids out ASAP and wash my hair. Yeah, that's why I don't even keep my braids for that long.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, I just need to wash my hair
and my scalp.
Yeah, I like it that, man. I like it like that. But sisters, let us know what's your wig routine, man. Or if you don't wear wigs, what's your hair care routine?
We want to know.
So follow us everywhere on socials at To My Sisterhood. Well, and if you want to follow us individually, you can follow us at CD Boating, at Renee Kapoor.
That's right.
We will be back with another episode of To My Sisters, the podcast, and then TMS Hot Takes next week. Because you should know the routine by now.
You like that.
Double uploads.
You like it.
But yes, have an amazing rest of your week. Love you loads. Happy hump day.
Yeah.
Take care.
If you like, stay where you're at.
Hello. Bye bye.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.